Sin is everywhere. And sin, we know, can send us to hell. But what about the sin that happens kind of under the radar? The sin that happens in the church? Well, that's what this message is about today. If you'd like to join us online, you can visit our website at SharonBaptistConcord.com. Of course, you can also find us on Facebook at Sharon Baptist Concord. Here's Pastor James Strickland.
What about sin in the church? That's what I want to preach about, sin in the church. If you'll turn with me, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 5, a very familiar passage of Scripture that you've probably read many times, heard it preached from many times. I've preached from it many times, but yet we're going to look at it again. Sin in the church. Acts 5, verse 1 through 11. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, Tell me whether ye sold the land for so much? And she said, Yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Beloved, we expect to see sin in the world, don't we? I mean, sin's all around us. We expect that, don't we? The Bible says where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. So even with all the sin that's abounding around us today, we know the gracious grace of God doth more abound, and I'm so thankful that it does. So we expect to see sin in the world and all around us. But I don't think we expect, nor should we expect, to see sin abounding in the church. But alas, we're looking back to the first century, to the first church. And here we find, in the first church, we find sin abounding. These things, brethren, sisters, ought not be. So it's really no surprise to us, is it? Since sin's all around us, it's not such a surprise to see sin also in the church, is it? It should not be, we agree, but we're dealing here with reality. What is, not what we wish was or we wish should not have been. We're dealing here with reality, really what is. Before any church, the church here in the Scriptures, or our church, or any New Testament church, before any church, real church, can experience a real revival among its membership, sin in that fellowship has to be dealt with, doesn't it? The sin of backsliding Christians is a grievous wickedness in the sight of the Lord. Listen to what Jeremiah said about it. In Jeremiah chapter 2 in the Old Testament, Jeremiah said this, Our sinful backsliding will correct us and reprove us. Then he says, it is an evil and bitter thing to forsake the Lord, and that the fear of God is no longer in thee. That's exactly what was happening here in the church with Sapphira and Ananias. They had forgot the Lord. They had forgot the fear of the Lord. They had forsaken the Lord's will for their life. And you see what happens here when that takes place. Something had to be done with it and done about it so that the church here could have revival and go on for the glory of God. But you see, this is not a first century problem alone, is it? It still pops up today. It's still with us today. Many people in the local churches today have done the very same thing, in essence, spiritually, that they did. Many Christians today have, first of all, forsaken the Lord. Nehemiah writes and Hosea writes, and he says, why is the house of God forsaken? He's talking about God's people. So many today have forsaken the Lord. They have seemed to have forgotten the Lord, and they seem to have no fear of the Lord. I've never in all my days lived in such a day when it seems like people don't fear the Lord. They just live like they want to live, do what they want to do, and think, well, everything's okay with God. God's just a great, glorious Heavenly Father, and it doesn't matter how you live, what you do, God forgives and God understands that everything's going to be okay. No, listen, it's not. God does understand more than we think He does, and He cares more than we think He does, and He cares about us. And when we backslide and forsake Him and forget Him and loosen up our fear of the Lord, something has to be done about it. Backsliding, sin in Christians' lives has to be dealt with. And I want you to see that here in this passage before us. I want you to see the progression of sin in the life of these two believers. I have no reason to doubt these people knew the Lord. No doubt they did. But nonetheless, God had to deal with this in a very stern matter to get the church's attention so that God could bless the church again and go on and do what the church was supposed to do. Sin's going to do three primary things in your life. You see them here in the lives of Sapphira and Ananias. I want to deal with those three things tonight with us together. First thing I want you to see is this. Sin, it will foul you up. Look at verse 1 and verse 2. Look at those verses again. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira his wife sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being a privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. Sin allowed to remain in a believer's life, listen, unrepented of and unchecked, will lead to sin fouling up that life altogether as it did here. It'll show up in your life. You can't help it. It's going to be evident. It'll surface in our lives as it did here in the lives of Sapphira and Ananias. Certain things show up. I want you to see it in their lives. First of all, you notice this, how sin fouled up their life. You see it in their selfish pride. You've got to remember, the Scriptures teach us that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before the fall. Now listen, both husband and wife here also took part in this sin before God and before the local church in that day. We see their selfish pride surfacing here in their life. You see it surfacing in church life today. Such things as people saying, well, I got to have it my way. It's got to be done my way or it's going to be trouble. It's got to be my way or the highway, so to speak. It still surfaces today with selfish pride in people's lives. Pride, you do know, don't you, is the originator of all sin. You remember how Satan in pride lifted himself up and said, I'm going to take over God's position. I'm going to take over God's throne. I'm going to remove God and I'm going to set myself up. Well, what did it get him? It caused him a great fall, didn't it? So it's no different from Satan down to Ananias and Sapphira. When they exerted selfish pride, it caused them their fall as well. Do you think it's going to be any different today with us than it was with them? You see, the devil used it in Satan's life alone. The devil used it in Eve's life, Sapphira and Ananias' life. He used it on all kinds of people down through the ages. And he'll use it in your life and my life if you allow it to be a part of your life. So, same results they got, the same results are going to happen today when you let sin foul up your life. God hates, the Bible says, the proud look. And God hates the proud spirit. That kind of spirit will foul up your life. You see it here in their life, selfish pride. And then they're seeking prominence in selling that parcel of land and just giving a portion of that to the church. They thought like this, well, others have given to the church. They've been recognized for their giving. You know, Barnabas was a very compassionate man, and Barnabas was a man of some wealth. Barnabas had already sold some land and had given the proceeds from the sale of that property. He had given it to the church to help out those who really needed financial help. So others have given. Well, why don't we just give too? Let's not let them get ahead of us. We want some prominence in the church like Barnabas or somebody else. So what we'll do, we'll formulate a plan so that we'll be respected in the church and we'll be notified and noticed as people who are irreplaceable. The church has really got to have us. We'll not let them get ahead of us. We'll put a plan together and we'll be recognized as very important and unreplaceable people. We'll get then the glory that we so deserve, and we'll get the place. Let's put a plan together. So they did. And the plan was they'd sell this piece of land. They would give a portion of it to the church and then keep back another portion for themselves. Well, the money from the sale of the land, who will ever know it? Church won't know what we sold the land for. Who's going to know? I'll tell you who's going to know. God's going to know. And little did they ever think that Peter would know. Well, he's just a preacher. We can outsmart the preacher. Most preachers are like us. We can be pretty easily outsmarted. We're not that smart, many of us, most of us. Doesn't take much to fool us or trick us. We'll outsmart Peter. He'll never know. Nobody else will ever know. We'll get the position. We'll get the prominence we want. We'll get the respect that we so deserve. And we'll be glorified in the church. Then we'll have our place. The place that we want. Do you know anybody like that? Have you ever known anybody like that? I'm sorry to say that I have. Well, if you have, I want to tell you about these folks. They're backsliders. Because sin will foul up your life. It fouled up the lives of this husband and wife, Sapphira and Ananias. But you know something? That's not all sin will do in your life if it's left unrepented of and unchecked. It'll not only foul up your life, it will also find you out. It will find you out. Look at verse 3 and verse 4 here, and then in verse 7 and 9. Verse 3 and 4. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Verse 7. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Then he talked about her death as well as the death of her husband. They thought they had a foolproof plan. But you know what it was? It was fool planning. It really was. It will work, they thought. It'll get us what we want. What had they really done in this endeavor that they went into? What really were they thinking? What do you think some people think today? Or do you think they're not even thinking at all? Some of the things that they do. Numbers 32, 23, if you've ever read it, it says this, "Be sure your sins will find you out." It's not talking about somebody else's sin. It's talking about your sin and my sin. You can be sure, the Bible says, your sin will find you out. Let's see the story unfold here kind of before us. Let us take it to heart tonight as we look at it together. Look at two things. Their plot that they had was exposed. Just as it was down through the Scriptures, I'll just give you another example. Sin always exposes, the Spirit always exposes sin for what it is. If you remember the story, if you don't, sometime go back and read it. In the book of Joshua, chapter 7, a man named Achan, after a great victory in battle, Achan goes into the camp of the enemy that already defeated him, and he finds some Babylonian clothing, expensive clothing, and he finds some silver, and he finds some gold, and he takes that Babylonian garments, he takes the silver, and he takes the gold, and he takes it, and God had already said all the spoils of that war belong to the Lord. And he took those garments, took that silver, took that gold, and the Bible says he hid it under the floor of his tent. Well, then the next battle came, and Israel was sorely defeated. 30-some men were killed. And then it comes back, they were in great defeat. They were so discouraged. They just were so defeated. And Joshua stands up, and he starts taking Israel tribe by tribe by tribe, then family by family by family. And he comes down to Achan's family, and then Achan is exposed for what he had done. He had taken that which was dedicated wholly unto the Lord. He had taken it for himself. He thought he hid it. Nobody would ever know, yet he was exposed what he had done. And do you know what it cost him? It cost him his life, and the life of his family, and everything that man had was destroyed. So we come down now to Acts chapter 5. And you see a very similar plot. We'll do this. We'll sell the land. We'll keep part of it. We'll pretend that this is all we got for it. We'll take that and give that to the church, and nobody will ever know. But alas, the plot that they had planned for was exposed. Achan's sin was exposed. Sapphira and Ananias' sin was exposed. Beloved, listen to me. Your sin and my sin will also be exposed. Be sure. Don't you ever doubt it. Our sins will find us out. You can't hide sin from God. How are you going to hide sin from God? God will see to it that you and I and our sins will be exposed. We'll be found out and we'll be exposed. Now we know in this passage what was done. The Bible plainly tells us all about it. Yet really, actually, what had they done in this plot, this plan that they put together, which was now going to be found out? Their perversion was exposed. Peter said to Ananias, "Ananias, the land was yours. It was at your discretion. You didn't have to sell it. It was a choice you made. And even after you sold it, the money that you got for the parcel of land was still within your power to do whatever it was that you wanted to do." yet they made the wrong choice. And what had they actually done? Well, they attempted at least to carry it through. But what did actually take place? They lied, attempted at least, to lie to God and to the Holy Ghost. Again, you can't lie to God. You can't lie to the Holy Ghost. He knows all about you. The first thing they tried to do was tempt God and to make the church and Peter believe they sold the land such and such and such. And all the time they were tempting God. You can't tempt God either, by the way. The Bible says God cannot be tempted, neither doth God tempt any man. They tried to lie to the Holy Ghost, tried to outsmart God. Listen to me. If you ever want to outsmart God, let me tell you two worst things you can do. Is try to tempt God and lie to God. You'll never tempt God, and you'll never be able to lie to God. Be sure, in our lives as well as theirs, that you will be found out. It was found out in Achan's life, found out in their life. It'll be found out in your life and my life just as well. What a great and perverse thing they did in trying to lie to the Holy Ghost. Yet, it still happens today. It didn't pass off in Ananias' day. It's still with us today. But you've got to understand, just like it was in their day, it's the same today. Sin will foul you up, and sin will absolutely find you out. But look further in this passage at another thing sin will do. Sin will finish you off. Look at verse 5. Look at verse 6. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, carried him out, and buried him. Verse 9. Then Peter said unto her, How is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. Here they paid the ultimate price for their sin. Here in their lives, you find no repentance. You find no remorse for what they'd done. You find them not turning from what they'd done. You don't find them asking for forgiveness in their life. Listen, if you don't kill the sin in your life, the sin in your life will kill you. Amen? Hear it again. If you don't let God kill the sin in our lives, the sin in our lives will kill us. Well, you believe this? Let's look and learn. Just go a little farther. Some good did, in fact, come out of this terrible situation. First of all, notice this. God removed the sinners from the midst of the church in verse 9 and 10. You see it. We see them as they stand before Peter and attempted to tell the lies, attempted to lie to the Holy Ghost. God actually struck both of them dead. I mean, within 3 hours apart, both husband and wife were dead. In 3 hours. Aren't we so thankful God's merciful to us? If God would reckon to us according to our sins, there wouldn't be anybody here tonight. We'd all be gone, wouldn't we? But this is harsh to have to report. But you know what? It happened. We need to take this to heart and understand we need to let God deal with our sin, or sin will deal with us and finish us off in the process. The choice is up to us, beloved, just as it was Achan, just as it was Sapphira and Ananias. And they made the wrong choice. I must ask myself, as I ask us, what choice are we going to make? But notice what good came out of this. It brought great respect of the saints of God. If you look in verse 11, you'll see that. Chapter 5, verse 11. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. When they fell dead, the Bible says great fear came on all those who heard this, and great fear came on the church. What do you think would happen today if God should step in by His Holy Ghost and strike somebody dead right in the midst of a church service that we're involved in? Don't you know great fear would fall upon the church today? Don't you know great fear would fall on all of us who might hear these things or see these things to develop? When it says they both fell dead, great fear came on the church and all those who heard these things. Here's my closing argument. We've heard these things, right? What difference has it made in our lives? What difference is it going to make in our church? Well, it's just a story, preacher. It's just a story out of the Bible. Would it just be a sermon? Some preacher stands up somewhere and preaches. It's just a sermon. Just let it go in one ear and rot out the other. Will it make any difference in the lives that we live today? How's it going to affect us after we've heard these things? Is it just a story? Is it just another sermon? Is it something we'll just hear today and forget it by the time we get home? Will it make any difference to us at all in our lives? Beloved, listen, or is God going to have to do in our days something as drastic as this to bring back respect, reverence, and revival to His church today? What is it going to take? You can be sure sin will foul you up. You can be sure sin will find you out. And you can be sure if we don't let God deal with it in our hearts and lives, it will finish us off as individuals or as a church for that matter. Sin's no respecter of persons, is it? So remember, let's take this message to heart. Let it make a difference in our lives. Let's not attempt to lie to the Holy Ghost or try to tempt God. That won't work. Didn't work then, and it won't work now. Let's stand together. And precious Lord, we're so thankful that even though You leave us reports and stories in the Scriptures that are somewhat negative, Lord, and they're harsh and they're hard sometimes and they're cold, but yet, Lord, they teach a great truth to us to always be, as a hymn says, trusting and obeying our precious Lord. Help us, Father, I pray in these days to remember these stories, because these things are left for us, for our benefit, to advantage us, that we won't be caught up in something like this, as Achan was and as Sapphira and Ananias was. Heavenly Father, I pray as we leave this place tonight, we'll leave encouraged, we'll leave educated even more, better equipped to serve You, and as we live our lives day by day, help us, dear Lord, to remember that we must also trust and obey. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you.
Well, thank you for listening today. We hope you've enjoyed the message and that you'll reach out to us and check out our website and see more sermons. Our website is SharonBaptistConcord.com. Also on Facebook, Sharon Baptist Concord. We hope you're doing well and staying safe, and we will see you again next week.